today I just want to share a really a simple thing. It's going to be in, I had it marked, and then I closed my Bible. It's in John 8, and I want to begin by verse 28. Just read till verse 36. Reading in the Logos, which is the whole Bible, makes me always not feel like I do a disservice to read a portion of Scripture, because the whole portion of Scripture has that ability to penetrate because of it, of the substance, of the totality. For those, I'm sure everybody knows, Logos is the total counsel of God from Genesis to Revelation. It's the written word of God. Rhema, these are both Greek words for word, and it is the spoken word of God. And the word spoken by Holy Spirit when I'm reading always illuminate, gives me the food I need. How many can remember last Thanksgiving? All right, do you remember what you ate? It's probably easy because... Do anybody have turkey? No. All right, anybody remember how full you were? To eat too much? Do you remember the football game you watched? No. Okay. Well, you remember the... Now, let me ask you this. Are you still satisfied by that meal?
No.
No, because the meal's gone. Rhema is for the now. Rhema brings faith. It's a now word that gives me nourishment, faith, gives me the knowledge of the revelation, and it's to always lead me to Jesus. Now, Logos is where we are able to come into new discoveries that we never would if we just followed it. So I wrote in the secret place a confession of a backslidden preacher. When I got saved, I felt that there was a big emphasis on the rhema word, the spoken word, the word that brought faith. And over time, I've experienced the Lord doing that hundreds and thousands of times. In fact, every time I read the Bible, I know God will speak to me, and what he speaks to me will be my nourishment, my daily bread for the day. And it'll come out of the word that I'm reading. So I can have a bad session of prayer before I go to read the Bible, but I know that when I read the Bible, I'm going to hear, and when I hear, I'm going to come alive in faith every day. But that faith can be gone the next day, although I try to bring it back. But if I try to bring it back, I'll use my soul. I'll try to recreate my Thanksgiving meal the day before. So all I have is the wrapper. So what I want to share is that because of the rhema, which is always present with Holy Spirit because he's speaking over the word, there is a desire I was to try to keep it always alive like that. And, well, I won't miss that. Any case, what happens is you have to reproduce what Holy Spirit did, and you lose the spontaneous place of life, and you lose the authority to face the devil. The devil doesn't care what God said to you. In fact, he hopes to get you to talk about it. Because if you talk about it, he'll talk you out of it. He's just that good. Don't ever underestimate his capacity. He is the dragon, a fascinator. He is the serpent, a traducer. He is an accuser. You'll lose your place. So when Jesus, having had the incredible voice of the Lord, this is my beloved son whom I'm well pleased, in the testing is to test him to let go of that truth or to prove that truth. If you are the Son of God, do this, do that, do this. And Jesus didn't use the experience he had just come from. He used the word by saying, it is written. Yeah. And the it is written is the resource of the truths that we have heard from, but they're not necessarily what we're feeling. That's why that's so powerful, because if we live in feelings, we will always be talked out of our feeling. Yeah. Yeah. and we'll get sucked into something of trying to reproduce. In fact, next time I'd share, I'd love to share about the hyper animated souls that are inside us because of a malpractice, over emphasis on experience inside of presence and all these buzzwords and soul songs. But today I just want to talk about how to live inside of Jesus Christ and to live in the fullness of what he is. So let me read this. He said, verse 28, then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. Right? Speaking of his to the cross. And that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. Now this Jesus is the one we're going to live like inside of him in the same way he lived inside Father. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. And we will learn to say, and Jesus is always with me, for I do those things which please him. So as he spoke these words, many believed in him. So this is a rhema moment right there. I think you really must be the Messiah, the prophet, the one that Moses spoke of. And they believed. So then Jesus says to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. That is not the word he just spoke. That is the logos, the entirety of the truth that you're to live inside. You're to abide in my word. This is the first time Jesus describes a characteristic other than leave all and follow me and deny yourself, take up your cross, of what a disciple does. A disciple abides in his word, in his logos. So, and then he says, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples, you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Truth shown is not necessarily known. The first discovery of something is that's what we call revelation. Peter, you're blessed. You know I'm the Christ. That didn't come from your ability. That came by the Father. He opened the gift of revelation. So now you're blessed for seeing that. But then before the chapter's over, he's rebuked and called the devil. Because what you see doesn't mean you can actually carry it or interpret it correctly or know what to do with it. So God is always both and. But Jesus is saying now, I want you to abide in my logos, my word, my truth. I want you to become someone who just comes into this daily so that I can speak to you daily and I can build within you a capacity of that it is written, the authority of my word. And so you would think they're believers, right? They would be going, yeah, I'm in, I'm in. But the one thing about the word of God, when it's spoken, it's usually, and whenever it's about Jesus, it offends. Next verse. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? And now begins most Christians' prayer life. The arguing with God, trying to get him to prove it on a level that we will accept the tyranny of our soul, demanding God to answer what we require. And he said, he's good, but you'll never out-argue him. But he says, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Ooh. Now we're getting to where God's really after. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You will call his name Jesus, for he will deliver my people from their sin. Sin is the missing of God's glory and purpose for our life. It is the willfulness. It is missing the mark. There are basically three things that are bothering every one of us in this room, to some degree or not. They're demons, and they're sin, and then they're self. And those three, the unholy trinity, Satan, sin, and self. sin, self, and Satan, however you want to do it. And I'm sure if we take a moment to remember, we have met those three. Demons come with a pressing against us into our soul, lying, telling us that things are going to be terrible or wonderful when they aren't going to be wonderful. You know, they're intimidating. They never help us. They only hurt us, and they abuse us. And we've been given total deliverance from all demonic harassment in Jesus Christ. And his name is the name that they have to bow their knee to. Sin is that thing where we are just acting out of the will of God and no longer wanting his will. We're wanting our way. And self is that thing that got released when Satan got Adam to eat the fruit. And from that point on, self has ruled every one of us. And self is a miserable taskmaster. It's all about me. Take care of me. I don't feel good right now. Well, then I'm not going to act good. Self, self, self. And that's the hardest one for God to get at, I believe. Because it's just, so, you know, we've been, anyway. So he goes on, and they go on, and he says, well, he answered, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. So there is the capacity, and these are believing, devout Jewish people. He's inside the temple having this conversation. And they believe that they are, because of their lineage, because they are an American, because our fathers came here to establish a free country and to have religious freedom of worship, that a descendant is something that just passes on whether you are having that same encounter. And he said, no, it's not that way. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and the slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, this argument, as in every argument recorded in the book of John, will go from bad to worse. It goes to the greater and greater unbelief, greater and greater rationale of their mind, greater and greater self-justification. I always know when God is probing because I'm getting offended and I feel defensive. I feel like, wait a minute. Like some of us are offended at the idea that we could still be slaves of sin. And or that self is that bad. Self, I thought God came to save myself. No, he came to deny yourself so that he could save yourself by denying yourself and not losing yourself by gaining the world. So it's conflicted. So that's the whole rest of this chapter. They end up wanting to stone him. So it just didn't go good. So I'm not going to read the rest of the chapter because I don't want to get stoned. Now I want to just tell you how to do it, because it really doesn't matter. And enough just so you can pick up the tool so that you can see Jesus. When God brought forth the Son of God, the God the Son became the Son of Man and emptied himself to become a man and walk in perfect obedience to the Father, when you see the Son of Man lifted up, you will know that I am in the Father. You will know the Father sent me. You will know that I only do the things the Father sent. He came to have perfect obedience, in perfect yieldedness, in perfect willingness to do what we failed and cannot do, because we are all conceived in iniquity and born in sin. And that isn't what your parents did to get you here. That's what Adam and Eve did to us that gets us here. It carries in the bloodline. And therefore, everyone, no matter the best of us and the worst of us, all are separated from God because of sin and because of iniquity. And it will find its expression. But here, Jesus is teaching us something. You're going to have to be in my word. You're going to have to live inside my word. It is so foreign. the way I am, my kingdom, the way I think, the way I respond, is so foreign. Unless you immerse yourself in Scripture, you will not know who I am and where I am. You won't know my kingdom. You won't know who you are, where you are. So about 14 years ago, God really did a renewal in my life. And that was because I had spent so much time in Rhema, so much time with promise, so much time with expectancy, and then so much time with disappointment and broken hearts and how did this happen? And I can't understand this, and there's hypocrisy there. And finally, when the Lord brought me back, it was into John 15. You've got to abide in me, and my words have to abide in you. So I've been on a learning to abide in Jesus and learning that, wow, there's a lot of things that I just flowed in that I would now call church culture or Americano church culture. It's just about me, and it's all for us. And any case, when he began to bring me, the battle gets going. Because the devil really doesn't mind if you go and practice and participate in the culture as the temple culture was going. Here was the Messiah standing in front of everybody, and they're arguing him out of their life. They're pushing him away. And he's trying to say, listen, if you stay in my word, you'll know the truth. The truth will make you free. Oh, no, there's no freedom we need. We're fully free. It's like you can always tell where you really need help is where you'll be the first one to deny. I don't need that. No, thank you. Demon, not me. Yeah, sure. Ask your wife. Any case, the thing that with the argument, the real issue was you have to come to Jesus. Because in John chapter 5, Jesus had said to them, you search the Scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life. And yet they testify of me and you're unwilling to come to me. So we as believers have the same propensity today, 2,000 years later, as the Jewish faithful of Israel, 2,000 years after the law, to make the promises of God laws, precepts and concepts and practices. And so I don't want to stay on that practice idea. But I want to say this is the truth of Scripture. Jesus Christ is God's will for us. And in Jesus Christ is God's help for us and nowhere else. In Jesus Christ is our healing. In Jesus Christ is our salvation. In Jesus Christ is our joy and our truth. In Jesus Christ is wisdom from God. In Jesus Christ, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. In Jesus Christ, we are adopted to the Father as sons. In Jesus Christ, we're accepted inside him as the beloved. In Jesus Christ, he is our Redeemer. His blood forgives us. And in Jesus Christ, we have an inheritance according to Father's will. In Jesus Christ, we were foreknown. In Jesus Christ, we were chosen. There's nothing now of our relationship with God outside of Jesus Christ. But the way we live is as though what Jesus Christ is kind of an addendum, maybe got us into the kingdom, but he certainly isn't the problem. My help right now. I need to find out what to do with this. I need to resolve this. I need to get involved. And I've now been living and trying to learn and to the point of practicing that I have to abide in Jesus, let his words abide in me, I have to abide in his love, but it's not based on how I'm feeling or how it's working for me, because then I'm always trying to get the world to look right and to get the world to act right. And we and believers aren't supposed to make the world act like believers any more than someone could make you act like a believer. So I'll find the Lord's been meeting me at times. A lot of times he'll meet me in the middle of the night and say, just come. I want to reset something in your thinking. And since it's dark and it's quiet, I just go. And I don't really have an agenda other than I want to go to sleep. But I'll start to recall back to the Lord the truths of his word. I'll just declare the things that have our logos and just start declaring that I am accepted, that I am. And at first, I would try to appropriate them in such a way that I would feel them. I've decided feelings are highly overrated. I just declare them to be true, and I go inside with my thoughts and my imagination of my heart. See, the spirit man has a heart to function inside of the believing, and the heart is what believes. Souls don't believe. Souls are processors. They're like your phone, and whatever's coming on it, it shows. And you know, but the heart is the believer, the believing part, the organ. So with the heart, we think and imagine. So what I found, and I'm finding, and I'm practicing, is that I have to be so immersed in the scripture to get a real totality of the kingdom. I cannot go on the internet to find out, because I'll get a particular, at best a rhema, at worst a deception, and in the middle a distraction. But if I'm inside the scripture, and I'm coming into truths that I would not be in unless I was purposefully reading through the scripture. And that's what I've told many times. If I had anything to do differently, if I could only do one thing, having learned all the things I've learned in 49 years, I'm in my jubilee year, if I could do one change, if God said, go back, you got to make a change, what would you change? I'd say I would read the scripture every single day, not to make it happen, but to let it influence me. Amen. Until I was immersed, until I thought like the Bible, so I talk like the Bible. I would not try to use the Bible to control anybody, but let it control everything in me. I'd not waste my time trying to get other things different. I just said, Lord, influence me with your scripture. Now I know, because when you're in the scripture, God speaks. So therefore you're getting your daily bread, the thing you need to eat, the nourishment to give you the victory to stand up into whatever. So what happened for me was that you're wanting an outcome because you've been told this is the outcome God wants. And maybe you joined a crusade with somebody, a group of people, Save America crusade, whatever it is, you know, get thin again. You know, you're on a mission, and you have an outcome. And whenever you hear God, your first inclination of what he says is, it's for me to make me happy and to make me better, to better me. It's for me. This is all about me. And without realizing that, you don't realize it until the cross is presented. And that's when you're offended. So Peter's like, you know, hey, I'm a man. He had to be feeling so good. I got it. Man, did you notice he just called me blessed? I heard. He is the Christ. And then Jesus pulling along, going, okay, now that you're understanding who I am, my intent of being here, let me tell you where we're going next. We're headed to Jerusalem. We're going to be mistreated. We're going to be arrested. We're going to be hung. We're going to die. And then I'm going to be raised in 3 days. Immediately, Peter's gone, that's not me. That's not. No, thank you. But he doesn't. He actually has the audacity to tell Jesus, that can't possibly be your will. So I've had to find that every time the scripture starts to take a hold of me, it's going to go contrary to a lot of the things I wanted. But if I'm inside scripture and God speaks and I don't try to produce it, I don't have an outcome I have to gain. You know, like what's been beautiful in our journey is that we've had to all surrender. Yeah. If you know, you're only here because you're surrendering to God. Yeah. Otherwise, you'd already be somewhere else. Yeah. Because if this is for you, then, and you know, and again, we're all given that test. And thanks be to God, Peter in John 6, he passed the test on that one when Jesus started talking about eating my body and drinking my blood, and people are freaking out and pulling away. He says, well, where do you guys want to go? You want to leave too? And Peter said, well, where, to whom should we go? Not to where, but to whom. There's only one Savior, only one Jesus, only one Spirit. And he says, you have the words of eternal life. And we've come to believe you are the Christ. So what was captivating their relationship with this crazy rabbi was the words he was speaking. And these words. Now Jesus is saying, you stay in my word. Live in my word. Let what I've said be what I am saying. Let what I'm saying always be what I said. Let it never be altered. So now, it's not the circumstances you're trying to alter. You're allowing the truth to alter me and inside of me. And once I have touched on and sense that there is so much of Jesus Christ that has been hidden from the church because we didn't want to seek that. We took on side trips. So I will be with the Lord, and I will begin to just say, Lord Jesus, I am inside of you because I'm born again. Is that true? And since I'm inside of you and I'm born again, I just want to thank you that you are everything that I'll ever need. You died for my sins, so I don't have them. You died, carried my sickness, so I don't have to. You are my strength, so I can do whatever it's required of me. And I'm going to now pull on you inside of me to allow you to be expressed in me. And I'm just going to be here with you because this is, where else can I go? What else do I want? You are the one, and you have the words, and you are the Messiah. You are the high priest. And so that conversation becomes a place of refuge, a place of rest, a place of freedom, a place of joy, a place I got my daily bread again. But more importantly, and this I want to close with, and that means nothing, but... Diana's been telling us all that. It is the way the devil is driven out of your life.
That's right.
It's the way sin is removed out of your life. It is the way self bows and goes to the cross. Nothing else but the living word of God can do that, because truth has to triumph. You need Holy Spirit, and you need the truth in God's word, and the two of them will sanctify us. And here's the thing, and the goal is glory. The goal is the glory in Jesus Christ, to be like him, to be brought into his very nature, his very image, his very victory, his very joy, his very triumph. And so that is really powerful. Without the word of God, you will not defeat the devil. Without the word of God dwelling richly in us, very good chance we'll get deceived. We'll go chasing somebody. Because if I read what Jesus said, he says, when they start saying, Jesus is here, Jesus is there, Jesus is over there, don't go. Because when Jesus shows, he'll show up everywhere. So what I want to do now is I'd like to just bring you into a prayer, if you would join me. It's not a prayer to change anything outwardly, but it is a prayer to accept everything of Jesus inwardly. You don't have to prove it to enjoy it. You don't have to produce it and perform it. We just receive. We don't have to stand up to the devil and say, no, this experience is really real. It is written. These are truths. And so the first thing is we step into Jesus Christ. I return to Jesus every single day. I return to him. I said I didn't lose him, but my mind went in other places. My emotions went other places. My circumstances pressed against me. The devil's been lying to me. All of those things. So I have to return to the truth in Christ. And then I begin to let the heart that believes has an imagination and thoughts. It says that the earth was destroyed the first time with the flood because God came down and said, every thought and imagination of man's heart is evil all day long. David said, we're going to build this temple, and let's gather everything we need. And now God says, let your thoughts and your imaginations of your heart be on him continually. So it's got go either direction. The soul gets all confused. And if you just be confused. But I learned recently that when I there's a scripture in Psalm 42. It says, why are you disquieted, O my soul? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Hope in God. I will yet praise him, not you. See, the soul is highly overrated. I will praise him. Now, the word hope is not the word of expect. It's literally, go over there, please, and just sit right there. This is out of your pay grade, and you're not a processor of this level. You are an old iPhone. Sit there. You've been a terrific company, but you can't do this. Just wait. Wait for God. Now, let the heart start coming alive. The heart is a believing part of my spirit. It's accepting. And then we just, you see, the soul has, because it's connected to the world that we live in, it is very world-driven. But the heart is connected to the born-again spirit man, the inner man, and it's going, I don't really care about all of that. I want to find this one. However that means, whatever path he's asking me to go. If he wants me to go sit in a standby room at the airport, but who cares if I find Jesus? So let's go find Jesus. Can we do that? Yes. Heavenly Father, we are here as believers, and you know that. Every one of us have believed Jesus and his words. But I also know that probably every one of us have been under attack by the evil one, because he is absolutely committed to never allowing the living church to come into the image of the true Christ. And is frightened about the idea of that ever happening and the potential that any moment any of us could come alive. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I can keep praying. So, Lord, now can we go on this?
Yeah. Okay. Can you hear me? Can you guys hear me? Well, of course you can.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
I'm on. Okay. I'll just keep talking. We're in a small enough room. I just want people online to hear me. There we go. Thank you. All right.
Thank you.
Say with me these words. Let them be your words coming out of your mouth, from your heart. Say, I believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, my Savior. I believe God raised him from the dead. I believe that I am in Christ. I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. I am healed in Christ. Father, you have given us Jesus, the answer to everything, the sum total of the fullness of God. And in you, Jesus, I am complete. I praise you, Lord, for giving us life. I praise you for obedience to the Father. I praise you for your faith that the Father would raise you from the dead. I praise you for your joy. I step inside of you. I release everything that's fighting against our union, our oneness. I want to enjoy you. I want to be used by you. I worship you, Jesus. You are perfection. You're my life. I see you, Jesus, with your eyes of your imagination, of your heart. Now I'll just give some direction. See the Lord lifted high next to the Father in all his glory. See him where he is. We are to set our heart on the things above. He is seated at the right hand of God. See him. Totally victorious and triumphant because he humbled himself so perfectly under the mighty hand of God. And see yourself inside him. Wherever you are in life, it doesn't matter. You are in Christ right now. Forever, you will be in Christ. All that comes against you, both seen and unseen, cannot separate you from the love of God that he has for us in Christ Jesus. See yourself in the Word, hearing his voice, standing against the circumstances, not afraid. Jesus, we praise you. All the losses we've incurred are for one reason only. Failures, taking away things that have been stolen, are for one reason only. And that is to gain Jesus Christ. They were precious to us, but they would have hindered and often were the hindrance, and therefore they were lost. But now you gain Christ, and we're inside of him. And we have no righteousness of our own from the law. We cannot look upon anyone and despise them because we are that same person, but for God's grace. And we can know you, Jesus, here, and your power of your resurrection, and your fellowship of your sufferings. We can be conformed here into your death, that by any means, whatever it takes, we will arrive at the resurrection from the dead. Its full expression in our life. Hukobasha. Say, I see you, Jesus. I see you high and lifted up. Oh, I see you. Show me your glory. Show me your glory. Show me your love that you enjoyed with Father. Bring us inside. We are here because of what you have done. We're here to know you and to be known by you. We love you, Jesus. Thank you for your logos, for the truth in your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you bring Jesus forward. We come to you, Jesus. We submit to you, Jesus. We receive your victory. Father, have your way. Accomplish your will in Jesus' name. Body, be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Soul, be quiet. Rest. Return. God's dealt bountifully with you. In Jesus' name. Lord, I just ask that as we go home, and throughout our day and tomorrow and the next day, that you will make us a people inside your word and help us to experience Jesus every day inside your word and build within us a written, it is written, it is written, it is written, to tell the devil every day what he's trying to tell us we're not and not been given. Never argue with him. Just speak the word. We declare in Jesus' name joy that's beyond anything. The joy of the Lord is our strength, but it's not from where we are. It's from who we are. We bless this day. We bless this afternoon. Lord God, you've been so merciful and gracious to us. We're following after you. because you have the words of eternal life, Lord Jesus. You are our high priest. Amen.